Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you all so much for joining with us tonight for our 6 o'clock service. So thankful that you all could be here and be a part of this. And tonight we continue in our look at the Sermon on the Level. We will be in Luke chapter 6. We're only going to be looking at 3 verses tonight, verses 43 through 45. And this morning, I was talking about in my sermon a situation where you go out unprepared into the world. You take an adventure, and you're not prepared to go on that adventure. Well, as I think about that, there's another story that goes along those same lines, and it happened in the late 80s, early 90s, with a guy by the name of Christopher McCandless, and he was the subject of a book and then ultimately a movie called Into the Wild. And he was a young guy, if I remember correctly, just coming into college. And he really felt this call to just go and live his life and do so in the wild. And so he then hitchhiked his way up to Alaska. And against the better advice of many of the native Alaskans who were there, he went out into the wild to try to make his own way. He changed his name to Alexander Supertramp. And so he went deep into the bush to try to just kind of live his life and be a man. But he didn't plan for any of it. He just wanted to go on an adventure, and he didn't count the cost, and he just went out into nature. And as he went out into the Alaskan bush and went deeper and deeper and deeper, he found himself in a predicament because he was not prepared at all for the Alaskan winters. And so as the Alaskan winters came on, and he was trapped where he was because the river froze up, and he had to wait until the spring thaw, he found an abandoned bus that a mining company left out there and began to live inside that bus. And so for the next 113 days, he attempted to forage and scrounge and find food, and he was writing in a makeshift diary that he had, and eventually he passed away after the 113 days. He was hoping he could get out. He saw the river breaking up, but it was not melting as fast as he thought, and as it did melt, of course, there were floodwaters that came with it, so he couldn't cross the river, but he began eating berries at the very end of his journey. And as he began to eat these berries, what folks later found out, once they finally did find him and found this bus and found his body, that he had a stash of berries inside of the bus. And it turned out that those berries happened to be poisonous, or at least has some traces of poison in them. And in his desperate hunger, he was consuming quite a bit of them. And the side effect on those were to actually cause damage to his digestive tract, cause him to become exceptionally lethargic, so he stopped hunting, and ultimately he died. So he died of bad fruit. And really, that's what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to be looking at good and bad fruit. And as I say, I'm thankful that you have joined with us tonight. And I know Sunday night's a little bit different because we just jump right in, don't have music on Sunday nights, but hopefully as you are watching this, I am not an orange Oompa Loompa right now. So we changed some lights in here, got more lights to pour onto the stage, and that caused a little bit more yellow, and the camera was freaking out a little bit early today, and I didn't realize it until we were already streaming. So hopefully as you are viewing me right now, I am not looking like a pumpkin like I was this morning. But it also, just the same thing, if you were watching from home right now, I think in an effort to save bandwidth, a lot of the outlets like Facebook and YouTube and others are streaming at the lowest bandwidth they can initially. So you may be getting a very grainy, fuzzy picture. On YouTube, if you're watching on a computer, and I believe even if you're casting it onto a TV screen, you should see a little gearbox or a little gear icon on your screen. You can touch that, click that, and be able to change to at least 720p. I think they're defaulting to 144, which kind of makes me look like dancing blocks at that level. So just an encouragement for you if you would like to see this in a little bit higher resolution. So we're going to be talking about bad fruit tonight. And just like Christopher McCandless, one of the things I remember as I grew up in Boy Scouts is that they had a field guide on how to recognize bad fruit, because as a Boy Scout, you had to know how to live off the land. They taught you wilderness survival. And unlike Ted Anderson in the back there, I didn't make it Eagle Scout. I made it the Life Scout. I started at 16, was out by 18, so I crammed a lot of scouting into 2 years. But I do remember this. It was a little ditty to help you recognize what is a good fruit, what is a bad fruit, or what's a good berry and what's a bad berry. And that ditty was, white and yellow, kill a fellow. Purple and blue, good for you. Red, could be good, could be dead. So there you go. If nothing else, you've walked away from here, you've got a little bit of wilderness survival skills. White and yellow, kill a fellow. Purple and blue, good for you. Red, might be good, might be dead. Because 10% of all berries that are white and yellow are actually poisonous, are edible to eat. 90% of them are poisonous. And it's just a reverse for purple and blueberries. 90% of purple and blueberries are okay to eat, with only 10% being bad for you. And with red, it's about 50-50. You really have a chance on eating something red and it'll be all right, and eating something red and it can kill you. But the thing to help you remember with red is that if they come in clusters, they're probably not good for you to eat. But if they're growing as singles, that's probably okay. So there you go, wilderness survival for you. So these are just things you need to know as you're going to try to survive out in the wilderness, and to make sure that you don't encounter something toxic or something poisonous. And as we dive into Scripture tonight, it's the same with spiritual fruit. And this, our Savior is teaching us how to recognize good fruit and bad fruit, or good trees and bad trees. And really, if you remember from last week as we were looking at the Sermon on the Level, it ended with, we need to regard the pole sticking out of our eye before we try to pluck the speck in our neighbor's eye. So when it comes to fruit, we also need to recognize, is our fruit good? Are we bearing it? Is our fruit bad? Are we bearing bad fruit? So it's something that we certainly need to look internally at. So if you have found Luke chapter 6 and would like to read along with me, I ask you, whether you're in front of a screen or if you're able to do so, if you'd please stand in the honor of reading God's word. So Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45 says this: "A good tree doesn't produce bad fruit. On the other hand, a bad tree doesn't produce good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs aren't gathered from thorn bushes, or grapes picked from a bramble bush. A good person produces good out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil person produces evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart." Let's pray. Mighty Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity once again to have this opportunity to look at your word, Father, and have it move in our hearts. Father, I pray that you would stir inside of us, and Lord, that we would inspect our hearts, even as we looked at this morning. Lord, so we can see if our hearts have a hidden treasure of evil. And Lord, if so, we would hand that over to you, Lord, that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, that we would stop holding closely to the things that are toxic and poisonous to us. Father, I pray that we would listen to the words of your Son from this sermon. Father, we would apply it to our lives. Lord, we would hear and we would do. Now, Father, I pray that you would speak and move me out of the way, so that, Father, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you. All right, so as we go through this, as we are kind of coming to the end of this Sermon on the Plain, We come to this, seems like a kind of a one-off, these three verses. And so as we look at this tonight, we only have one more sermon on this next week, and we will have completed the sermon. But this on its face seems almost out of place, especially as you're coming out of a section where it says, do not judge, which is speaking of having a judgmental heart, which is what we looked at last week. And then we see what it is to not be a hypocrite and have a blind leading the blind, or to try to pull a speck out of your brother's eye when you yourself have a pole sticking out of your eye, that this section on fruits may seem out of place. Maybe like it's tacked on, but it's not. It's actually a beautiful way to begin closing the sermon and also to close the thought process on judging. Because just like we were talking about at the beginning of this sermon, you need to know what are good berries and what are bad berries. You need to know what is going to nourish you and what's going to kill you. And so the same is being said here. Jesus says, you need to be able to judge fruit. You need to recognize when a tree is evil or when a tree is good. See, if in your life you wind up being the blind man and recognize that you need to be led out of darkness, you need to be able to judge whether the person that's leading you is blind themselves. That's what we saw last week, is that the blind would lead the blind into a pit and both would perish. So we need to be able to judge what is good fruit, what is bad fruit in our life. And what's interesting about this, as I was pondering this sermon, is this, especially when you look at the term blind leading the blind, is how do we recognize good and bad fruit? Interestingly enough, as we go through, as we've read this, we don't do it by sight. We do it by what we hear. So spiritual fruit, you can hear the spiritual fruit because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And see, what's interesting is if you think of fruit, Jesus speaks of it quite often in the Gospels. It is a theme that carries not only in the Gospels, but also in the epistles. But if you go all the way back to Genesis, fruit plays a very important part in mankind's destiny. Because if you remember, there was the fruit of the tree of good and evil. Fruit is me saying, trying to say fruit and tree at the same time. Fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And see, that fruit looked pleasant, but you had to listen to what was being said about it. God said, don't partake of it. It is death for you if you do. But then you also have to listen to what Satan was saying about it. See, as Satan was speaking, he was speaking falsehoods and lies. Out of the treasure and evil of his heart, he spoke poorly and lies about that fruit. And so in that fruit, if you were to look at it, you judged it was good for eating. But you had to listen. And if you listened, you could determine whether that fruit was going to kill you or not. So fruit is very interesting as it moves through the Bible. But certainly, as we come to what we're looking at tonight in this section of Scripture, we see that the fruit that Jesus is talking about proves the heart. Hence the title of tonight's sermon, The Fruit of the Heart. See, proof of a changed heart that is dominated by Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, and servant to God Almighty is found in the fruit that the person bears. And so here, Jesus, as he is preaching, is equating trees and the fruit that they bear with the heart of the individual. So the fruit is the outpouring of the individual's heart. And so once you see their fruit, then you can determine, you can judge rightly whether that individual has been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit or not? Well, there's two things I want to look at tonight as we go through the text, the first of which is this, is the fruit proves the root. The fruit proves the root. And I just want you to know, I thought I was incredibly clever coming up with that. The fruit proves the root. And as I was preparing this, I looked that up, that phrase, just to see how clever I was, and was immediately humbled that no, I am not the first person to come up with that clever saying. But the fruit proves the root. Look at verses 43 and 44. It says, a good tree doesn't produce bad fruit. On the other hand, a bad tree doesn't produce good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. Figs aren't gathered from thorn bushes or grapes picked from a bramble bush. See, a tree can be recognized by the fruit which it bears, and good trees produce good fruit, and bad trees produce bad fruit, and it's not vice versa. You cannot have a good tree produce bad fruit or a bad tree produce good fruit. So this is the plain meaning of the text. Jesus spells it out for us. Good and bad trees have identifiable fruit. And you cannot draw a good fruit from a bad tree or a bad fruit from a good tree. So Jesus is saying you can, in fact, identify the heart of the individual by the fruit that's on display. And so what I want to do now is I want to take an opportunity. We need to walk through Scripture. And it's not going to be on your screen tonight, so I'll give you the verses, and if you have an opportunity to look them up, but I'll be reading through them. But we need to go, and we need to go through Scripture and see examples of good and bad trees. If the fruit proves the root, we can tell what type of tree it is. So let's look at what Scripture has to say about good trees. Well, the first of which is that good trees have a repentant heart. Good trees have a repentant heart. Luke 3:8, and the first part of that verse. This is John the Baptist speaking. He says, therefore, produce fruit consistent with repentance. So good trees have a repentant heart. The second thing is, good trees are a product of gospel soil. Good trees are a product of gospel soil from the parable of the soils. Luke 8:8 says this, still other seed fell upon the ground, and when it grew up, it produced fruit 100 times what was sown. And then Luke 8:15, where he begins to explain that. He says, but the seed in the good ground, these are the ones who, having heard the word and with an honest and a good heart, hold on to it and by enduring produce fruit. So good trees are a product of gospel soil, good soil in the heart of the individual. Third thing is this, good trees are found in the root of Christ. Good trees are found in the root of Christ. And as I read this scripture, John 15:5-8, you're going to hear the vine, and of course that Jesus is the vine. But remember, as we are engrafted, that vine of Christ has its roots deep. John 15:5-8 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch, and he withers. They gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. So good trees are found in the root of Christ, and as we see right there in John 15, in fact, it is impossible to produce good fruit apart from Jesus Christ, apart from being part of his root. And we're going to see why in just a little bit, because remember, bad fruit comes from an evil heart. And we know that all men have an evil heart, so only good fruit can come from Jesus Christ, and so we must be engrafted in with him. We must be the branch to his vine and his root. Lastly, this, the fourth thing on good trees. Good trees are filled with the Holy Spirit. Good trees are filled with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, a very familiar verse to us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. And what's interesting is you read that, that word fruit is not plural. It's not saying the fruits of the Holy Spirit are all of these. It says the fruit. The singular fruit encompasses all of these. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are all a product of the Holy Spirit. So good trees are filled with the Holy Spirit. So, in repetition on this, good trees have a repentant heart. Good trees are a product of gospel soil. Good trees are found in the root of Christ, and good trees are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what about bad trees? What about bad trees? Well, Scripture speaks on that as well. Bad trees, first, produce no fruit. They produce no fruit. Luke 13, 6 and 7. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree that was planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, but found none. He told the vineyard worker, "Listen, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it even waste the soil?" So bad trees produce no fruit. Second thing is this. Bad trees produce wicked fruit. So you have a bad tree that is barren and produces no fruit. But if it can even begin to produce fruit, it produces wicked fruit. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, it says this. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Now, as I read this list, remember coming right out of this is Galatians 5, 22 and 23, which speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. And so, of course, this is to be contrasted with what we are now reading, which is going to be the fruit of the flesh. So the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So bad trees produce wicked fruit. Bad trees speak against Jesus. The third thing, bad trees speak against Jesus. Matthew 7, 15 through 18 says this, "Be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit." And of course, this is the sister scripture to what we are reading tonight, but there in Matthew, he is speaking very specifically of false prophets, ravaging wolves in your midst. And he says that bad trees produce fruits of lies that speak against Jesus, and they speak falsehoods, and that you must listen for their fruit, and then you can recognize that they themselves are false prophets. And what's interesting is that if you would carry forward with the rest of that verse, in 21 through 23, these same false prophets don't recognize themselves that they bear false fruit. They think they produce good fruit and are surprised when Jesus does not recognize them. So bad trees speak against Jesus. Fourth thing is this, bad trees are cut down and burned. And this is clear. Three scriptures speak that a tree that does not produce good fruit, a tree that does not produce any fruit, is a tree that will be cut down. Luke 3, 8 through 9, We looked at the first part of 8 earlier. Again, this is John the Baptist speaking. He says, therefore, produce fruit consistent with repentance. And don't start saying to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you that God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Matthew 7, 19 through 20. And this is a follow-up to what we were just looking at. Jesus continues with his analogy on trees. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you'll recognize them, the false prophets, by their fruit. And then Luke 13, 8 through 9, a continuation of what we were looking at before, the parable of the fig tree. And remember that the master said, this fig tree is producing no fruit. Cut it down. We continue, it says, but he, the gardener, replied to him, sir, leave it this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. Perhaps it will produce fruit next year, but if not, you can cut it down, which is an opportunity that we can produce fruit once we are tended to and pruned and fertilized. But a tree that yields no fruit will be cut down and burned. So bad trees produce no fruit. Bad trees produce wicked fruit. Bad trees speak against Jesus, and bad trees are cut down and burned. So this is why Jesus says, as we come to the end of these verses, this is why Jesus says that you can judge a tree that bears fruit. You can judge it by what fruit is actually bearing, and that it is important for the Christian to discern what type of fruit is on the tree. Not only for oneself, what type of fruit am I bearing? But also to listen to those who would speak falsely against God, but would come the way Satan comes and speak in half-truths and come in beauty and may have what looks like delicious fruit. But you must listen and discern and say that fruit is poisonous, that fruit is toxic. So the second thing I want to look at tonight is this. The proof of the fruit is in the hearing. The proof of the fruit is in the hearing. So we saw earlier that the fruit proves the root. Second thing is this, is the proof of the fruit is in the hearing. And this comes from a phrase that we are familiar with. The proof is in the pudding, right? Many of you have said that. But have you ever wondered where that phrase comes from? The proof is in the pudding. Well, it's actually an old English proverb, and it actually doesn't say the proof is in the pudding. The actual proverb itself is the proof of the pudding is in the eating. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Hence where I got this second point. The proof of the fruit is in the hearing. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. And see, when we think of pudding, we think of Jell-O pudding, right? That's our version of pudding. But if you look at the English, pudding there has a lot of different meanings, and especially in the time of when this proverb was coming up in England's past, is that a pudding could also be a meat. You've heard of meat pies. Well, there were also meat pudding. And part of that was sausages, and how all the meat that was crammed into the sausage sleeve was the pudding of meat. But you didn't know what type of sausage you were getting until you bit into it. And once you tasted it and once that sausage was open, then you were able to recognize what type of meat was crammed into it. And was this meat good or was this meat bad? So that's where the proof of the pudding is in the eating came from. And of course, throughout the ages, we have shortened that. The proof is in the pudding, which is to say, you have to look into the pudding to determine it. So in the same way, if you want to discern what the actual spiritual fruit is of an individual, you need to listen to what is being said by that individual. Our mouths always betray us. A toxic person has a toxic mouth, just like a toxic fruit has a toxic taste. So we can see what is in a human. And in fact, we know from Jeremiah 17:9 that all of our hearts are desperately wicked. So in fact, what it says, the heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? See, that's the whole problem we have, is that every last one of us hearts are wicked. And see, as Jesus says right here in verse 45, a good person produces good out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil person produces evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. And see, that's the problem for all of us, is that our heart is desperately wicked. Our roots run deep into wickedness. So really, the only good fruit we can bear can only come from Jesus Christ. Because otherwise, we produce bad fruit. But what Jesus is saying in here is he switched from the analogy of bad trees to bad people, wicked people, and good people. But what he is saying is that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But he talks of there is evil and good stored up in the heart. See, deep down in each one of us is a treasure box. And inside of that treasure box is what we really believe. Is what we hold fast to. And we may not open it often, but it will be opened in our life, and its contents will pour out. For some, it comes during times of stress. For others, it comes during times of pain. For others, it comes in different moments and in different ways, but that box is always opened. And out of that box flows the words we hear. And see, even for some, as we are in this isolation with COVID-19, we are beginning to hear from those in our house the treasure box in their heart. And often I've seen some pretty funny memes out on Facebook and otherwise that speak of how many folks didn't recognize that their husband or their spouse was that person at work, but now that they're working from home, they really get to see who they are. And oftentimes it's funny, but we also know sometimes it can be very tragic. But that box opens up, and its contents spills out. And that's why Jesus tells us where our treasure is where our heart is. That's Matthew 6:19. Through 21, he says this, "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal." And then verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." See, earthly treasure yields earthly hearts. The heavenly treasure yields heavenly hearts. And that treasure box deep inside of us will be opened. And in fact, James speaks of this in James chapter 3. He speaks of the destructive nature of the tongue. And when we were studying James, we looked at this in detail. But I know it's a long passage, but I do want to read James 3, 1 through 12 as a reminder of how our tongue betrays our heart. James 3, 1 through 12 says this, "Not many should become teachers, my brother, because you know that we will receive a stricter judgment. For we stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is mature, able to control the whole body. Now, if we put bits in the mouths of horses so they obey us, we direct their whole bodies. And consider ships. Though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by very small rudders, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Consider how small a fire sets ablaze a large forest. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among our members. It stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. Every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With a tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? And then listen to this as it applies exactly to what we're saying tonight. Can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers and sisters, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a saltwater spring yield fresh water. See, our tongues prove our hearts. It proves the fruit by what we say. Jesus says we can judge the fruit of all those around us by the hearing. But, as I said before, the beauty on this is that there's a heavenly treasure that Jesus Christ gives us that buries into the very core of us, and that if our treasure is found in heaven, then our speech is also heavenly and has heavenly fruit bear from it. We must have a heart transplant. We must open up these treasure boxes that we store of hatred and vileness and give it over to Christ so that he will rip it and destroy those from us and create in us a clean heart, a heart that is heaven-minded, so that out of the overflow of our heart will come heavenly speech. And in fact, it is through Christ who fills us with the Holy Spirit, fills us with living water. And as he said to the Samaritan woman, if you seek after me, I will give you living water that will spring up to eternal life. And that notion there is a well that doesn't just have water sitting at the bottom of it. It is a well that is on top of a spring, and that water just continues to pour into that well, and that well just fills up with water to overflowing, that you would never have to draw from it again because there is so much of it that it pours out everywhere. And see, that's what happens when we have a heart given over to Jesus Christ, is that living water wells up inside of us and pours out of our mouth. Brothers and sisters, we need a heart transplant, and we need a heart transplant every day of our lives. So how can you judge tonight? Remember, don't forget the context of these scriptures, that it does end with the log sticking out of your own eye. You need to listen to your own speech. You need to pull people into your orbit who will, through godliness, through wisdom and through gentleness, but also with desperate honesty, say, I have heard from your mouth a treasure box of evil, so that we might not see in our own heart this blind spot we have, but through a brother and sister, say, I hear that in you. And we can say, oh Lord, tear that box away. I don't want my treasure in the world. I want my treasure in heaven. See, that's why we have the church. That's why we are a gathered people together. That's why we disciple one with another. And where we should be honest and say, I hear this. But Jesus also says, be discerning of those who speak toxic lies into your life. See, so often we hear the words that tear us down, but maybe they're not very frequent. Maybe they're flavored in a different way, but that toxicity is there. That poison is there. And then we begin to see the real fruit in that individual. See, we need to speak into that individual's life, so that language that's born up of treasure boxes in their heart can be purged through the living water of Jesus Christ, so that they could become part of the vine and the deep root of Jesus and his Father and the Holy Spirit. And certainly, as we see in the case of the false prophets, their lies and their toxicity are not ones that they themselves are even going to see or going to attempt to change. And Jesus says that they will be cut down and thrown away. So we need to be discerning of the trees and the fruit that we see. As my brother LeVictor would say, especially when it comes to premarital counseling, he always says, you need to shake that tree and see what nuts fall out of it, right? Well, we need to do that in our own lives constantly. We need to shake our own tree and see the nuts that are maybe stored up in there. So as we come to a close tonight, I do want to point out one other thing that I think that's important is that you notice that in verse 44, he says, figs aren't gathered from thorn bushes or grapes picked from a bramble bush. He said, look, you can also, those trees pierce you to the very bone. So you might try to get fruit from a thorn bush, you might try to get fruit from a bramble bush, but it'll pierce you to the bone. And when you think of the parable of the soils even, remember that the one plant that was growing and may have one day produced fruit grew up in thorns and brambles. And those thorns and those brambles choked it out. And see, thorns and brambles in that case, as Jesus is speaking of, are the cares and the worries and the anxieties of this life. So we see that even those, and there's another level even in looking at these different trees, that worldly trees don't produce fruit. Now, fruit that they do is wicked. And if you reach in and try to grab them, they will ensnare, tangle, tear, and pierce. I think it is not without good reason in this that as we see our Savior go to the cross, that they take a crown of thorns and drive it into his flesh. Another example of the world trying to kill the Savior, as he is trying to bring life to the world. You can receive that life tonight through Jesus Christ. You have only to believe in him, confess your sins, recognize that he died for you, that our Father raised him from the dead, and that he sits even now alive at the Father's right hand, and that in his hand are the keys to death and the gates of hell, and that he will give you eternal life. But as we saw this morning, he will rescue you in a moment. But his call to discipleship is serious. He will bring great blessing in your life. But you need to count the cost. You need to count the cost. But oh, the victory found in Jesus. Believe in him, and you will be saved even in this moment. So that's my prayer for you. As I close, I'm going to pray, and then we will be dismissed. And thank you again for watching and being a part of this Facebook event, this YouTube event, this Boxcast event. And thank you for staying with us as we continue our study through Luke chapter 6. And as I say, next week, we will finish with the Sermon on the Level. So I've been praying about what the Lord would lead us to next. And I know that he will have wonderful surprises for me and for you as we get there. Let's pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for your words and what they mean in our heart. Father, thank you that we are called to recognize good and bad fruit. But Father, we're called to recognize it in our own heart. And Father, to lay our heart bare before the Savior to clean out all of this filth and all these treasure boxes filled with evil thoughts and evil desires and evil speech. Lord, bring into our lives discernment that we may see our own fruit and those who may be able to point out our speech and where it may be devilish. Oh, Father, bring inside of our hearts through Jesus Christ, fill us with the Spirit, and we may be overflowing with goodness and produce fruit 100 times over, multiplying for your kingdom and your kingdom alone. Father, give us wisdom to discern when we are being lied to, most especially by the enemy and his half-truths, where he wants to cram fruit down our throats that would kill us. Father, rescue us from his lies. Lord, may we be given ears to hear, to understand, and to recognize what fruit is out there. Father, I pray for those who may be watching, whether live or later, that you've stirred in their heart and they've recognized that their heart is wicked above all things and they are in desperate need of a Savior. Lord, I pray that you would rescue them. Father, as they cry out unto you, Father, as they confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Lord, that they would know that in an instant they will be saved. Father, I pray that in all of our hearts, as we chase after you as disciples, Lord, that our hearts be fully set on you as Lord, our all in all. And Lord, I pray this in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our Master. Amen. God bless you all. You are sent.